just wave to me and smile. Let me just say wow. Say wow.
Wow.
That's very good. Say it backwards.
Wow.
Say it upside down.
Wow.
I got a good group of people over here. It is an incredible privilege to be back again with the Beltway Park family. And for some of you, how many of you have never heard me speak before? Just wave to me. So just, there's some of you. Yeah, I want you to get used to my southern accent. I think as you're hearing me talk, you recognize that I am from the deep south. And it is true. I'm from the southern part of Norway. So I'm a true southerner, in case you were worried. And I have a lot in common with Texas. I'm a Norwegian Viking, and you are Texans. And so I know that all of us have some of that things of conquering and taking new territory, and we have something in common. But I wanted to, even before we start, just thanking you as a family, because the reason I showed a video, Beltway Park family, you have been part of so much of what God is doing and that we get to do around the world, and to support so many true heroes that are on the front line. When I'm leaving here on Monday night, I get home. And then on Wednesday, I'm heading into first to Turkey, then Pakistan, then to Kashmir. And then we're doing some things with Afghanistan, some amazing things that God is doing. And I woke up this morning with a text from this Shia Muslim clergy. And I was just thinking about it. He's sending just this text every single morning because Jesus actually just came and just ministered to him. And for 271 days, he sends a thank you card because he got totally healed, had an encounter with Jesus. And I live my life with a very simple assignment. I want everyone in the world to know how good Papa God is. I want everyone to know how loved they are. I want every single person in the world experiencing a God just like Jesus. And I do believe that Jesus is perfect theology. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus came to show us exactly how good Papa God is. And I refuse to actually believe in a God that doesn't look like Jesus. And so this has been my assignment for all these years, and my wife and I've had the privilege to start Global Mission Awareness. And a lot of my life, I'm going into some of the darkest places in the world because I'm in the light business. And light is working very well in the darkest places in the world. And I thought about sharing a couple of testimony. In Cuba, we have one of our pastor's wife, her name is Aki, that both of my wife and myself, we spend a lot of time with them. And Aki, she has a beautiful hair. And she had this sweet lady in the church that used to cut her hair. But she didn't always like the way her hair looked. This sister is a sweet sister of the church, but her primary gifting is maybe not cutting hair. So Aki one day says, but there is this one lady. She is the best lady in Havana to cut hair. So Aki came and she said to me, I do would like to go to this lady, but the problem is that she is a witch. So when you're going into her place, there's all this witchcraft and she has music. And when she touches you, I mean, it feels very awful, people are describing. And then I didn't remember I saying that to her. I said, is the light in you greater than the darkness in the witch? Because some of us think if I touch the lepers, I become clean. Instead of if you touch the lepers, they become clean. So with some of you, but make the story short, Aki went and she got her hair cut. And she did it 6 different times. She went to the witch and she was a little nervous in the beginning. And then eventually we had a normal meeting like what we're going to have tonight and an encounter night. And she brought the witch that came. Wow. I never forgot when the witch came and I didn't know who she was, but she had an encounter with Jesus. Wow. She got saved. She got healed. And she got delivered. And I still remember when she had an encounter with Jesus there, this witch is so changed. So the next time we came to Cuba, I saw this extravagant worship leader in the church. And I had never met this worship leader. And I was wondering, who is the new worship leader of your church? And he said, that's the witch. 1 year later, she is the worship leader, an extravagant worshiper. And she's leading 8 house churches. We call them lighthouses of love. Already a year into this. And she's the top evangelist in Cuba. Because free people sets people free. So she had this powerful testimony, and I just started to think, if we had another lady that spent 20 years in prison, she actually killed her husband. And she came out of prison. One of the lighthouses of love, one of our spiritual sons and daughters, prayed for her. She had stroke and also stage 4 cancer. She got healed from stroke, stage 4 cancer, met Jesus, and she's leading a move of God's Spirit now in Havana. And because everyone deserved experiencing a God just like Jesus. He loves us just the way we are, but he refuses for us to stay that way because he wants us to be just like Jesus. So pray for me in the next couple of weeks as I'm going in. I'm actually meeting with 2 presidents of Muslim nations on this trip. But as we're going in there, pray that I will represent God very well, and that they will have an encounter with Jesus. This is my heart and my desire. And I wanted to share this message this morning that has kind of been burning in me. My desire is for every one of us that is in here, not just to know how much that you're loved by Papa God, but also for you to love you the way that Jesus loves you. Could I say that one more time? Because in the moment you believe in Jesus, you get saved. In the moment Jesus believes in you, you get transformed. And so my heart and my desire, and so this message, I give a little of the background. I had been on a trip to the Middle East, landed home, hurried home to my wife Jennifer, and said, I can't wait, because even on this trip, I have a Sabbath right afterwards. So this was going to be Sabbath, and I'm just going to rest, and I'm going to enjoy my time. So I landed, came home, and I just hugged my wife, and we had this wonderful time. And I said, I'm going to take a day, and I'm going to do nothing. But then there was this orange electrical bicycle in my garage. And I don't know if I got tempted. I looked at that and I said, well, let me take a little ride. It is a beautiful day. So I took it on the golf cart roads and I was going about 35 miles an hour. And I'm heading down the hill and this demonized squirrel was coming along. The squirrel was just heading right in front of me and then it changed direction, hit right in my spoke. And I had my first flying lesson. I flew over and I landed on my elbow and God had just been speaking. This is going to be a season of shalom. This is going to be a season of peace. And all these songs that was about peace and shalom. And instead I ended up in the emergency room on my day off. And instead of shining, I was whining. And I had one of those prayer meetings with God. And this is kind of where this thing came from. I knew how much the Father loved me. But I've been in this process of learning to love me the way that he loves me. Especially when he knows everything about me. Because Jesus loved Jesus the way the Father loved Jesus. And in John chapter 17 and those verses, that's Jesus' prayer for us. It's the same love that he had with the Father is going to be in us. That we're going to be loved with the same love so that we can show the world that kind of a love. But you can only love your neighbor if you love yourself. But if we don't have a proper view of God, you will never have a proper view of yourself. And you will never have a proper view of the people around you. And you will treat people based upon their history instead of their destiny. So anyways, I started this journey as I was reading and God suddenly, that day I'm sitting there and having one of my prayer meetings was complaining. And then he says, Leif, do you love me? And I kind of got offended like Peter. This is in John 21. Let's open up a Bible to make this meeting legal. And if not, you're going to get it on the screen. I actually start to feel better and better. I think some healing took place during worship today. Did anybody else recognize that there's healing in his presence? Wow. John chapter 21. And we're going to read from verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Say that with me. Do you love me more than these? Say that with me. One more time. We have the bass of the choir over here. Let me hear you ladies. Do you love me more than? Let me hear you ladies. And pretty much the question is, do you love me more than anything else? More than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah. It's interesting, even he called him Simon instead of Peter. Do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And here, look at Jesus prophesying and speaking over Peter. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and you walked where you wished. And when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke to signify by the death that he would glorify God. And I'm going to kind of stop here for a moment and kind of give you a little bit of the background. If you were to ask me the question, which one in the Old Testament do you like the best? It would be David. I'm a person that loves the story of David. In the New Testament, which person is it that you have liked the most? It would be John. I'm a person that loves John. I love the book of John. And there's something about John that has fascinated me for over 20 years. And that is that John loved John the way Jesus loved John. I mean, 6 different times in the Gospel of John, John says, I am the one that he loves. Matthew never says it. Mark never says it. Luke never says it. But John says it. And John says it about John. We don't do that in my culture. It's like you coming into the room and say, I'm his favorite one. We don't do that. But here is the very key. If you had captured what John had captured, John used to be like a lion. Let's get fire from heaven to stop the one that don't receive you. Until he met the Lamb. And during his journey with Jesus, he started experiencing not just how much Jesus loved John, but John started to love John the way Jesus loved John. And as a result of that, the transformation that took place, John used to be a lion that became a lamb. And you see that in the book of Revelation, John talks 24 times about Jesus being the lamb and only one time lion. And that time the lion became the lamb. Why is this important? Because we are in a culture similar like this. There was a lot of opposition. And sometimes we are coming to try to be lions without the lamb's heart. And when we roar, people are scattering instead of gathering. Because it doesn't come from the lamb. And we were singing, worthy is the lamb that is on the throne. And I feel that the very thing, even with the Muslims that I'm going to meet in a couple of weeks, they're not so nervous about my lion. But they don't know what to do about the lamb. The laid on lovers, when you're suddenly just laying down your life for someone. And Peter was very similar in nature. In a moment, he would take the sword. Do you remember the story? I mean, he would fight. I mean, he knew about the lion. And the question for Peter is not how much Jesus loved Peter. But Peter is on this journey with Jesus. And how many of you are on a journey with Jesus? Let me ask you another question. How many of you, you're no longer who you used to be, but you have not yet become what you're supposed to become? I think that all of us are on that transition. And we need an upgrade. And here's what I realized that day in my life, that some of the missing pieces in my life, I've experienced how much the Father loves me. And his love has started to change my life. But this day that I had with Jesus, when I had breakfast with Jesus on the beach, when Jesus came in and he built a fire, and if you read in John 21 verse 9, Jesus is building a fire with a coal of fire. So let me give you the background. Why is that important? Do you remember the last time there was a coal of fire? It was when Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Right before the service, I read John chapter 26, verse 75. And it's one of the saddest places in all scripture. It is in the moment when the rooster crowed 3 different times, and Peter just broke down, and he just wept, and he wept, and he wept. It was the worst day of his life. Why am I describing that? Because all of us perhaps have a time in your life, if you could go back again, and you would say, I wish that would have never happened. Anyone? Just wave to me. And the rest of you, I want you to pray for me afterwards. But we all have this season in our life when we're going back. And sometimes we have to go back to the future, not just the movie. But we have to go back. And what Jesus is doing this very day, because Peter, his intention, I'm going to follow Jesus. He left everything to follow Jesus. He called Jesus Lord. He left fishing. He left his wife, his mother-in-law, and he became a follower of Jesus. He saw signs, wonders, and miracles. He actually, on this journey with Jesus, was very intentional that even if everybody else betrays him, he would never do it. He experiencing Jesus washing his feet, even the feet of Judas that was about to betray him. And Jesus says in John 13, verse 34 to 35, as I have loved you, not just love one another, but as I have loved you, you're going to love one another. Washing the feet of the one that's going to betray you, the one that is about to deny you. And Jesus had been teaching him about the language of love, that is the language the blind eyes will see and the deaf ears will hear. But Peter on this journey, his intention was, I'm going to follow Jesus. He wanted to be an environment changer. He had a word over his life that upon this rock, upon this identity, Jesus was going to build a church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So there was a Peter potential over his life, but he went back to being a Simon over and over again. Jesus had called him Peter, and there's a destiny over each one of our life. But sometimes we go back again because somehow the enemy is trying to steal our identity. And if we don't get the proper identity, mean that you see you the way that he sees you, that's called the truth, and that truth sets you free. And there's a lot of things that is true about me, but it is not the truth. The truth is what Jesus has to say about me, even in my worst moment. So Peter is on this journey and eventually comes in and Jesus says, there's going to come a time when all of you, the political climate out there is going to be very tough. And then to love in the middle of it, all of you will deny me. You're actually going to leave me. And Peter says, not me. Maybe all of those guys will do it, but not me. That's kind of the tendency of my life. In one moment, I know you can see me on a video and you think I'm a hero, but the next moment I'm in a little hotel room and realize without him, I can do nothing. Including what I'm about to do in the next 2 weeks, I can't walk on water, can't heal the sick. There's absolutely nothing I can do to make a difference. And you need to have an encounter if you're going to become and you're going to give an encounter. You can behold, and what you behold, you become, and what you become is what you release. So we're in this situation, and Peter in this journey, his intention is, and I believe everyone in this room, if you're a follower of Jesus, including the people being baptized, we have decided, I want to follow Jesus. It doesn't matter what happens in this culture, I'm going to stand up for Jesus. I do want to love like Jesus. I do want to follow in his footsteps, but stuff happens in life. And this is what happened with Peter. He was tired and he was fatigued. The battle fatigues that was going on in his life was wearing him out. And then the moment eventually came, and it was a Thursday. Jesus had just invited Peter. Say Peter. James. They say John. Very good. Say Peter, James, John. I like this. And he had invited me, come, guys, I want you. This is going to be tough. And it's maybe going to be a tough season that we are entering into. But Jesus says, this is going to be tough. I want you guys to join me to intercede, to pray for me. Guess what happened with Peter, James, John? They fell asleep. Read it in Matthew 26. 3 different times Jesus goes and wakes them up during the worst moment. They are falling asleep. Why? Because they are tired and fatigued. How many of you have had a battle fatigue in the last couple of years? From the political climate to all the tension around. I mean, it's been battle after battle. It didn't matter what I said or didn't say. I mean, it was always a group that came against you. And you're worn out and you're tired. And in the moment when you're tired, that's when Judas went in and he betrayed Jesus. And everybody come and there is chaos, everything around. And Peter and John is following on the distance. They took the lover of their life. And the reason I feel this is important because we're heading into a season where there's going to be some stormy water. But I do believe that God is raising up sons and daughters of glory that is called to arise and shine, for your light has come. And that you will have a fire of love, the flames of love, and we will love well. Yes, we will stand firm, but we will love well. And it is all about what love requires of us in this season. So anyway, this story, let me just calm down a little bit. I get so excited. So the story is there, they are coming in. John and Peter, I want you to capture this. They're taking Jesus in and they start the torturing. There's an outer court. Last time I was in Afghanistan, I saw this compound and we were able to get inside this compound because of the favor I had. John had favor and went inside the compound. And then he says, this guy is with me. So they invited Peter to coming in. And in John 18, 18, you can read about it. There's this fire, say fire. There's a coal of fire there, and guess what happened? Peter goes right up there. He is cold and is frigid, and he goes there to warm himself up. And the reason I wanted to give that as a warning, there's a lot of people, when our emotional tank is low, the enemy is going to build a fire for you to go and try to warm yourself up at the enemy's fire. And you're trying to meet some of your needs, and that's what he was doing in that. The enemy knows exactly the time when you are fatigued and fear comes in and you feel overwhelmed, and whatever overwhelms you will shape you. And at that moment, one girl come up, hey, were you not the one? Oh, no, not me. Second time, and by the third time, oh, yeah, you were the one with the ear of Malchi when you cut the ear. You were the one. I recognize you. And he said, no, that's not me. And when the rooster crowed, at that moment, there was a devastation. Three things came into him. Say it with me. Say guilt.
Guilt.
Say shame.
Shame.
And say fear.
Fear.
And I felt this morning what God wants to do to set us up for our future is to get rid of any guilt from your past. Looking in a mirror, and when you're looking at shame, shame is a liar. Shame will tell you who you are not. Papa God will always tell you who you are. And shame, and I'm here to say shame off you. There's been people saying shame on you. But there's God wants to remove away shame. So Peter is having guilt, shame, and then fear. Say fear.
Fear.
So he has fear for the future. And he was not intended. Friday comes along and Jesus is dying. Where is Peter? He's hiding. And a lot of people in the church, the enemy is blackmailing us and blackmailing our testimony because the enemy comes with shame and he tries to whisper about the secret things that you have. And this is one of the biggest weapons the enemy is doing to try to lock us up in this season instead of for us to come to Jesus, coming to another fire that Jesus has that will heal us and set us free from the past. Give us a new fire so that we will burn brightly. So anyway, so here is the story. You're coming in there, and at the first fire, he denied and betrayed him. Resurrection comes along. Sunday comes along. First, it was a Friday. Say Friday.
Friday.
There's a lot of people that want Sunday without a Friday. But there is no Sunday without Friday. And then there's a long Saturday. For some of us, it's been 3 years or 10 years, Saturday before Sunday comes along. But I got some good news for you. After Friday, Sunday is coming. And there is hope, there is resurrection, there is life. Some of you have been waiting for healing, and I was just with a lady that we didn't believe. I mean, stage 4 cancer in Canada, and we just heard 3 weeks ago all the cancer just disappeared. Jesus just healed it. 3 small little children, but I'm telling you something that it's maybe been a long Saturday. Sunday is coming. It's maybe been a long Saturday over America, but Sunday is coming. And so we may be seeing there's been a sunset of one season, but sunrise is coming. But I do feel that what is happening here, and I'm going to use the next few moments, there's this fire that I describe here that he wants us to encounter, that I got to encounter this very day, that did something. It branded me with God's love. And when you get branded with his love, you will not be the same. In Seattle, we had an encounter service last week, and then the whole stage there, young people, the Gen Z, the glory of God came in. And they were just describing the encounters they had. But the nice things was not just I was touched or filled or had an encounter, but they had an encounter with God. And you could see their faces, their life will never be the same. And I had that encounter with Jesus when I encounter him and my life was changed. This is one of those encounters that Peter is about to have with Jesus. Before then, his life is a little bit up and down. But at this moment, John chapter 20, Jesus appears after the resurrection and he appears to Peter. You can maybe think that his life would be changed. If Jesus came and appeared to you, you maybe think this is enough. 2 more times Jesus appears to them. Signs, wonders, and miracles. In the end of the book of John, chapter 20, there was all these signs, wonders, and miracles. But even if you have all those signs, wonders, and miracles, despite of that, guess what happened in John 21? Peter goes back to fishing again. How can you go back to fishing again when you're giving up fishing to follow Jesus? I tell you, guilt, shame, and fear. The enemy was blackmailing. You didn't feel you deserved it. You didn't feel you lived up to it. The enemy reminds you about your past, while Jesus wants to remind you about your future. And the enemy was blackmailing Peter, and as a result of that, Peter, he had lost his boldness, his courage. He needed the boldness and courage to be able to be a culture changer. And eventually, we know the story, they turned the world upside down. And that was a culture very similar like our culture. There was a very opposition to a lot of Christianity, where they're crucifying people that love Jesus. In this kind of environment, God raised up some environment changers that changed the environment, and they turned the world upside down. But it was an encounter that needed to happen first. And that is to set us free from our past. Set us on fire. And then let it be a new Pentecost fire burning in us that make us be the burning ones. Are you guys okay? So here is the last thing, and then I'm about to start the landing. Are you guys okay? It's a long landing strip. So I still have a few moments here. But so here is the story. Now you come to John. John chapter 21, all of the guys go fishing again. Say again. And then the next thing happened, they can't get fish. Some of you trying to go back to what used to work in the world, but it's not working any longer. You're trying to find what you used to fix some of the things, but Peter couldn't even get any fish any longer. So he cannot go back, but he doesn't know how to get forward. So you're stuck between these two walls. And they are disappointed, and they're heading in. And then there's this guy on the shore that say, "Hey, hey, boys, did you get any fish?" This is an irritation for professional fishermen. Be fishing all night. I was just in Canada. I tried to do some fishing. I didn't get fish. But I'm not professional. These guys are pros. They knew how to fish, and they couldn't get any fish. And this guy said, "Hey, boys, did you get any fish? Hey, why don't you throw it on the other side?" Do you remember the last time that happened? And at that moment, 153 big fish. They brings it in, and then John says, "Hey, it is the Lord." Sometimes you're not aware who is in the building today. You don't know who is the Savior, who is the healer, who is the Lord. Somebody is here today. And that's one word from Jesus changes everything. One encounter from Jesus changes everything. Peter jumps in the water, and he swims, and he comes to the shore, and right there is a fire. And the only time in the Greek this word for the coal of fire was the time he betrayed him and this time. And he sees this fire. What is happening to him when he sees this fire? I'll tell you what happened. It brought him back to the worst day of his life. For some of you, that's when the divorce happened. That's when my son made this girl pregnant. Or there's where, and you can just go through the list of whatever that is. My son got incarcerated. There is when. And if you make the list of there's some of those things that is still lingering there. For other ones like myself that day, there's the loss of Papa Jack. There's the loss of Todd Bevan. Losses. Well, there's the betrayals. There's the disappointments. That day when I met Jesus on the beach, it's like I saw that fire, but it was not condemnation. I want you to hear, it was an invitation. He wanted to heal all of that, so you didn't carry that anymore. So even after the resurrection, when the two women saw, he said, "I want you to go and tell the disciple, and especially Peter." Why did he say especially Peter? I want to tell everybody in this room, I don't care about what you've gone through and what you have faced, but especially John, or especially Johnny, or especially Mary, your name. I want you to know that I've not forgotten about you. It's not over yet. It's just started to begin. But until you have this encounter where you love you the way that he loves you, there are still going to be things from your past that is going to continue to linger. So actually this day, his life is about to change. He comes in, and there's Jesus sitting there. They eat fish, and Jesus says, "Do you love me?" How many times did he say, "Do you love me?" How many times did he betray him? How many times did he fall asleep? First time fishing, second time fishing. And then Jesus is about to do something. And then he says, Peter, let me tell you about you. When I saw you, when you were young, kind of up and down. But now I saw you. And you reached out your hands. And he described how Peter is about to die for Jesus. What is Jesus doing? He said, hey, Peter, from the first time I saw you, let me tell you about you. I didn't see somebody that denied me. I didn't see a failure. I saw somebody bold, courageous. I saw the Pentecost Peter, full of courage. And what he has seen about us, until we see ourselves the way he sees us, there's still going to be issues that we're going to continue to carry. Can we stand to our feet? I just feel there's that holy invitation today to just take a few moments. And it is like Pastor Randy beautifully described. I look forward also before I leave and go to the Middle East just to go alone and be with Jesus at this fire. But he says, hey, Leif, do you love me? And he's saying that to you. And when he says, do you love me? It's not just to answer yes, but allow that love to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Do you love me more than anything else? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And then let him describe who you are. The beautiful you. The free you. The one that he's always seen. Not the one with shame, fear, or guilt. That moment, what Jesus did, he healed Peter's past. Peter, from this moment on, he didn't carry any longer the worst moment of his life. He suddenly had a new future. He started to see himself the way Jesus see him. Here is what changed Peter. At that moment, Peter loved Peter the way Jesus loved Peter. And I know in Texas or wherever we're at, the tendency for us is if we do all these things, Papa God is going to love us. But I want you to know Jesus did all of those things so that Papa God can love you. And what Jesus did was enough and it was sufficient. And covenant is when you are at one with his love and you're becoming one with his love. And you look in the mirror and you see you the way that he sees you. And you will love you the way that he loves you. And you will say about you what he has to say about you. That's called the truth. And that truth will set you free. Let's just open up our hands. Father, I just thank you so much for my Beltway Park family. Thank you for every grandma and grandpa and every father and mother, every beloved son and daughter. Father, first of all, I thank you for the fresh baptism of love taking place today. Peter received a lot of mercy so he could give people a lot of mercy. He received a lot of grace so he could become a grace giver. He received forgiveness and then he could start to forgive people. And Father, I just release all over this room right now that at one moment that we will look into your face. And here's what he says, come to me, all of you. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am low and meek and humble in heart, and I will give you rest for your soul. So if you have any issues, congratulations, you are qualified to receive his grace. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and you're going to receive his rest. So, Father, I just release that rest following the whole building into marriages, into family. I release also a wave of your grace to touch the whole generational line. It was not just Noah, but Noah and his family that got saved because of this one prostitute with a beautiful, nice tread. All of the family and everyone related got saved in that home. And I'm just releasing a covenantal blessing over everyone that is related to you. To coming in under the covenant and the blessing and the grace that is available. And today I just, as we take a few moments throughout the day, and he says, do you love me? Face to face with Jesus. For us to receive that love so that we can become that love. And be kind to ourselves, to love ourselves, so we can love flow into our marriages, into our children, into our community, into our nation. And the world can see who we are because we have learned how to love the way that he loves us. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's...